Go with Greg Berg. Let's take a check on the forecast from the National Weather Service.
And we welcome you to the Monday morning show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. We're going to be spending most of the hour talking about one of our most precious resources and something that once upon a time we very commonly took these events. First of all, also sponsoring a special event that is coming up next Monday, the 20th Water. And we have with us Dr. Jessica Orlovsky, who is associate professor of biology at Parkside, and one of her graduate students, Skylar Johnson, a graduate student in biology, ecology, conservation at Parkside. They're going to be involved and see up close certain insects that otherwise might be invisible to the naked eye, but that we can enjoy and talk about. So we have all of that, and great to have you here. It's a nice way to start the week. And Ecstatic, I was so happy to hear from you about this idea of having this conversation today. And it sounds like it may have perhaps started with this Great Lakes Great Read, or certainly that had something to do with it. Tell our listeners about this particular program and the way in which the University of Wisconsin Parkside is...
Grant, Wisconsin, and Laura Souser, the Executive Director of the Wisconsin Library Association. So they've put together a website, GreatLakesGreatRead.org, where people can take a look at the books, look at the toolkit, find the activities. This Great Read is really an intersection of people interested in literacy, in freshwater appreciation, but also in the Great Lakes community, because when you do a Great Read...
This helps facilitate people being able to lay their hands on this book, books. There's actually two of them. And can we talk about those real briefly?
Sure.
I know that one, there's two, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And I know one is called The Water Walker. Can you tell us about, am I wrong?
Yeah, no, that's right.
Okay.
I always look to see if it's Water Walker or Water Walkers, but it's singular, Water
okay.
Walker. Bodies of water to raise awareness of the importance of fresh water. She did this when she was already a grandmother. So.
Wow.
The great thing, and this is the kids' book of the two books, so there's an adult-facing book and a kids' book. The great thing about this book, I think, is the illustrations. It's just beautiful. It's beautifully illustrated. So I think people will really enjoy it.
Wonderful. So that's called The Water Walker, and it's a true story. It
mm-hmm.
sounds like an amazing true story.
Yep. And you'll learn a little bit of Ojibwe language doing it.
The second, I know, is the one that's sort of adult-inclined, although it sounds like it's actually something that even younger readers could probably enjoy, certain readers.
Yeah, I think adult, and that is they go up north, right? But this is a Canadian family going to family land for the summer. It's an island at this lake. It talks about the great water experiences they have, the family experiences they have. And not to give anything away, but like in every novel, there's a problem, right, that needs to be solved or encountered. And when they encountered this problem, they reevaluate, I would say, their relationship with water, with their land, with their neighbors, with each other. It's an interesting book, a good read, a good summer read.
Very good. So that's called The Best Part of Us.
Mm-hmm.
So and actually be able to read them.
Different libraries may take it up as a great read where they purchase and get at public libraries at UW Parkside, by checking them out.
Right. Very good.
Yeah.
And is this something that Parkside has done before? I mean, I know you've been involved in at least events related to this or similar to this.
Oh, we've hosted a couple of NEA, National Endowment for the Arts, big reads, Fahrenheit 451, way many copies of that book and had over 50 events with different community partners in Racine and Kenosha. We've done a community read around Stephen King's Joyland.
Hmm.
And then we've also partnered with...
Outer community, if you will. Well, we have two other guests with us, of course, and one of them, Dr. Jessica Orlovsky, Associate Professor of Biology. And you have a very direct hand in this thing called Freshwater Fun Day, which is going to happen a week from today. So first of all, it sounds like this event and this touch table, which we'll talk about in just a moment with Skylar, folds very nicely into one of your central interests as a biologist, and namely invertebrates that live in the water. Tell us more about that.
Sea and terrestrial organisms. So just living in the water is so different from how we live that it's neat to see them. But there's also a really practical reason to focus on aquatic invertebrates and freshwater invertebrates in particular, and that's because they can be used as bioindicators. So when you see certain organisms that we use to inform our management and our activities around freshwater, I'm also the wave coordinator for Kenosha County, so that's the Water Action Volunteers. So that's a collaborative program between UW Extension and the Wisconsin DNR to get community scientists.
This thing that you were talking about in terms of the presence of certain insects to whatever level is an indication of the health of, for instance, a stream. Are we talking about insects that we want to be there? But
positive indicators. So there are certain groups of insects that are really sensitive to changes in the environment. So if they're missing, that alerts us that there's a problem. It's a bit like the canary in the coal mine, that if they're not there, that's a cause for concern.
Right. Very good. In general, do these insects that live in the water serve a more directly beneficial role?
Mosquitoes are nectar feeders, so they are actually pollinators when the females aren't feeding on us.
Yeah.
So there are some aquatic insects that become pollinators in their adult form, but mostly they are the base of the food web. So we have fish populations that rely on aquatic insects for their diet. So, but especially insects, they actually emerge. So they're a food resource for bats, birds, spiders, all sorts of other things.
So, where do they have to live, or where do they have to live?
So these are things like aquatic beetles, the back and swim around anymore. So there's sort of different life histories for different insects.
And you mean, when you say living in the water, you mean like in the water, not just those cute things that skate on top. So Skylar Johnson, who's a graduate student at Parkside, when did you become interested in this particular field?
Oh, I took freshwater ecology with Dr. Olofsky.
Or were you kind of an open book at that point?
I knew I wanted to go into some kind of like ecology field, and I didn't know where that would take shape. I didn't know if I would continue and go into like environmental law, or if I was going to go into conservation, or if I was going to do something else. And right now I'm really interested in like looking into museum work and being able to help other people connect to that research, and especially being able to do.
Who got all of this going, the library director at Parkside. We have with us Dr. Jessica Orlovsky, associate professor of biology, and graduate student Skylar Johnson. And 1 week from today is Freshwater Fun Day at the Petrifying Springs Beer Garden. I said UW Parkside because it's right there. It's your next door neighbor. And this sounds like an absolutely wonderful event that is going to include, among other things, something that
creating essentially a table that makes it accessible for people to interact with aquatic invertebrates and aquatic insects in the same way that picnics or camping. It's like that.
Will the water essentially be empty, or will it look more like an aquarium with things on the bottom and so on?
Our goal is Pike River, that's right next to Petrifying Springs. In fact, that's where the critters are going to come from. So you're literally going to be able to see the critters that live next door to Petrifying Springs and also Parkside.
So
you jostle around until you disturb the substrate enough to get them to float into the net. And then we put them in 5-gallon buckets, carry them up the hill, and put them in the table.
That sounds simple. So, Skylar, it sounds like this is something you have done before, although not necessarily for the creation of a touch table.
And get through 4 different types of, like, habitat in the river so that you can try and target as many different macroinvertebrates in the river. And you just walk around and you will step in front of your net to try and jostle the rocks in front of it so they'll let go and they float into the net. And then usually when we're doing it for, like, sampling, we wash them into, like, a little what you do your dishes in, like a little bin like that, and then you'd look through them there.
Right. Yes, that's different than a pond. So in a pond, you can have things that are just swimming around in the water because you don't have that constant flow trying to push them downstream.
Right. That would be exhausting, absolutely, even if you're built for it. So how many different kinds of insects do you and Skylar hope to procure next Monday to put into your touch table?
That's an excellent question. So most of the time we do our...
They build their own, some of them. Some of them will build like a little fishing net to catch things, and it looks just like a fishing net you'd throw out, and I think that's fascinating. But other ones will build...
Professor Orlovsky.
So I like the dragonflies and damselflies the best. Mm. We have to be a little careful with those because they're predators. So they're probably going to go in their own little sub tank because they'll eat everybody else while we're out there.
We don't want that. That would be a little bit counterproductive.
Yes. Very good. Don't eat all the other friends.
And I assume that...
I think all the excitement is going to be around the touch table. Ooh. So we'll really see how the day develops.
Very good. I was just hoping that our forecast here to these insects once Freshwater Fun Day is done.
So this is our aim with this is to catch and release. So we're going to bring them from the river. We'll use them for a couple of hours, keep them happy, and then we're going to return them to the river when we're done. So this is sort of just a temporary, episode, and they'll go back to the water.
Very good. So again, this Freshwater Fun Day is happening a week from today, Monday, July 29th. That'll be 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. at the Petrifying Springs Park. Site has been part of which is called the Bio Blitz. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
So I actually have to give Skylar credit for this.
Okay.
So what we'd like to do is bring that back and do that again. And we've talked to the library folk.
Very good. So, Skylar, what got you so excited about that?
I thought it was just such a fun event. It was so helpful for me in ecology to see all of the different ways that you could look for different organisms. And I thought it would be really neat to have that at Parkside so that everybody else could also try and have that experience, as well as connecting two experts in the field and being able to be like, hey, I really want to know more about spiders. And we had a guy who knew how to identify so many spiders there. So you could really you can learn, you can find things. And it was just such a fun time that I was like, I want to see one of these at Parkside.
Wow. So that's still in the planning phase?
Right. So that would be next summer. So we did one last summer. We're thinking about doing another one next summer. But in the interim, we're also thinking from the last one. So we want to get that all squared away, and that'll help us prepare. Because over time, we can really get a record of what things we're seeing, where we're seeing them, and that helps us to manage our property, so our campus property, extremely well. Because as folks probably know, we have endangered species on our campus. We have the rusty patch bumblebee, which we've continued.
But especially if I am in the neighborhood in the evening, I will often. So,
absolutely.
Well, we'll be watching for signs of the bio blitz that will be coming next summer. Anastatic, before we all depart, I have a feeling you want to tell us about...
From 3 to 4 p.m. in Sturtevant at the Visit Racine Center. Hmm. It's probably easiest to find if you go to the Culver's. That's always a good Wisconsin... landmark.
Yeah.
On I-94 and Highway 20, so just west of there. And we'll be having a story hour, librarians, and they'll be able to direct you in the, to those links.
Very good.
So those are going to be some fun events coming up.
Great. So what are you and your staff busiest with, for you?
Oh, those months are really all behind-the-scenes planning months, usually working with faculty. And every major has a library liaison, and they will work with them to order materials, to schedule instruction, to do things like that. And then there's just the summer businesses of reporting and data and those kind of behind-the-scenes things. We're also implementing, but it's something that's kept us busy this summer. I should also give a shout out to Shauna Edson, who's our instructional design librarian, and Anna Leon, our science librarian, both of whom are working with this Great Lakes Great Read. And they're both kind of amateur naturalists and just love this kind of stuff. So
it's
been a great collaboration.
Yeah, a marriage made in heaven from the sounds of it. Really, really good. Before we let you go, Skylar Johnson, tell us how much longer your graduate studies are going to be continuing at Parkside and what your aspirations are for...
And keep going forward.
Very good. I should think, Professor Orlovsky, it does your heart good to hear this kind of passion from one of your students.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's great to see students that think beyond the short ago, and the collections that we make today are hopefully going to be around 100 years from now.
Very well put. Very well put. One more time, we want to remind people about this ongoing Great Lakes Great Read program, and you can contact the UW Parkside Library for more information. Famous touch table that will be manned by Dr. Orlovsky and by Skyler, and it's an opportunity for people to encounter up close and personal some of the aquatic insects that are such an important part of the beautiful environment at Petrifying Springs. Again, next Monday, July 29th, who passed away this past Thursday at the age of 94. He was a product of the Midwest, born in Oak Park, Illinois, back in 1929. He scored his first great success in 1960, the year I was born, with his best-selling comedy album, The Button-Down Mind of Bob Newhart, which earned him the first of three Grammy Awards. He also received an Emmy and a Golden Globe, and ultimately received the Mark Twain Prize for American Humor back in 2002. He, of course, was the headliner of two very popular TV shows, The Bob Newhart Show and Newhart, and also scored great late-career success with his repeated appearances as Professor Proton on The Big Bang Theory in the film Elf. I had the tremendous honor of recording an interview with Bob Newhart back in 2006. The occasion was the publication of his memoir, I Shouldn't Even Be Doing This, and Other Things That Strike Me as Funny, published by Hyperion. WGT says, just can't be fooled by a stand-up comic. In other cities, people sort of laugh where they're supposed to laugh, but people in Chicago only laugh when...
I don't know why it is. I just know it is. I know that there you can't fool a Midwest audience. Cut off the record for a surfacing, firing at the toe target, and then resubmerging. And he's congratulating him. It's a new record. They took 2 minutes off the previous record. And he said at the same time, I don't slight in any way the contribution made by the men we had to leave on deck. I think they had a lot to do with the 2 minutes we were able to cut off the record, and I doubt if any of us will soon forget their somewhat stunned expressions as we watched them through the periscope. I think I took that with me from law school. It's one of the few things I ever took from law school.
Well, we're glad that you did. You also talk about how comedians have to be at heart anti-authority, subversive in some sort of way. It's interesting for you to say that because, of course, those probably aren't the first couple of terms which most people would gravitate towards in trying to describe you or your brand of comedy. I mean, other people have been more obviously subversive. In what way has the work you've done been subversive in the way?
Really based on my experience when I was an accountant, and I worked for an insurance company.
If it was ever going to be performed, do you think that was a helpful thing in a sense that?
Ed Gallagher and I had a syndicated radio program which was eminently unsuccessful. We finally wound up costing us money to do it. And then Ed got an offer for a job in New York, so I was kind of on my own. Either I had to find another partner or do it as a single. And even though I had no outlet for it, I would see something and it would strike me funny, and I had to write it down. I had to get it down on paper before I forgot it.
Shared on PBS in the wonderful American Masters special they did about you. That must have really felt them. Is that balance correctly achieved elsewhere?
That the relationship that Emily and I had and to achieve, it kind of cuts you off from the other comedic roles I played that turned out to be tragic. That was the first based on what he had seen.
Initially broadcast back in 2006. Bob Newhart passed away this past Thursday, the 18th of July, at the age of 94. He will be missed. I'm Greg. Art Sear joins us for his monthly visit to the program. And on Friday from the archives, several interviews related to the Olympics, including an interview with the identical twins from Wisconsin who won medals in gymnastics, Paul and Morgan Hamm, and also platform diver Jordan Windle. That'll be on Friday's morning show. Today's going to be sunny and warm with a high of 83 degrees, partly cloudy overnight with a low of 64. Tomorrow, sunshine, but a 50% chance of rain by the afternoon.